Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verses 6 and 7. A word about trials, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for your word and just thank you for the promises that you've given us. And I pray, Lord, when we leave this church today, we would have a brand new perspective, a brand new understanding of the trials in our lives and how you want to use them for all kinds of incredible things. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last November the 14th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Shangrao City in southeastern China, a 22-year-old man riding a scooter was adjusting his earbuds, not watching where he was going, and then this happened. That guy crashed right into a blue truck that knocked him down and almost killed him. Then a red truck came along, hit that scooter, dragged it forward, came within inches of running over him and killing him again. That guy miraculously escaped death two different times, just seconds apart. And through an interpreter, this is what he said. I think somebody, maybe God, is trying to get my attention. And folks, let me ask you this morning, how many of us sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon, are going through stuff right now because God is trying to get our attention? And how can we tell? And what does it mean? And most importantly, how are we supposed to respond to it? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. We turn today, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. This first part of 1 Peter chapter 1 is talking to people who are going through trials and troubles in their lives. And our text today is telling them that they need to trust that God is using those trials and troubles to get their attention and draw them to Him. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that God is using the trials and troubles in our lives to do exactly the same thing. Our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, tells us three things that we need to understand about those trials so that God can use them for our blessing and for His glory. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about trials is that God wants to use them to get our attention. And everybody goes through trials. Peter here is writing primarily to Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. But notice, he purposely uses the word trials instead of persecutions in order to take in everybody. Because everybody goes through trials. Job chapter 5 verse 7 says, man was born to trouble. Matthew chapter 5 verse 45 says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. Tells us very clearly, time and chance happen to everybody. Everybody, because everybody goes through trials. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders had a heart attack last October the 1st. Lady Gaga has fibromyalgia. Nick Jonas now has diabetes. Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles has a brother who was just arrested for triple homicide. Supermodel Gigi Hadid has Lyme's disease. Jesus said, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have difficulty. And believers, listen to me, there is no immunity program for us Christians. Chad Beebe, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, is now injured for the 10,000th time during his football career. Out 6 to 8 weeks with a problem ankle. verse 6, we must all suffer all kinds of trials. Not a matter of if, only a matter of when. And those trials happen for all kinds of reasons. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 says, we live in a fallen world where because of sin, nothing works like God originally created it to or intended it to. That's why one out of every four pregnancies in America ends in a miscarriage. That's why one out of every eight women in this country get breast cancer. That's why one out of every 12 babies born in America is born with some kind of a birth defect. Because we live in a fallen world, some bad stuff just happens. A lot of trials we bring on ourselves. If you smoke marijuana and let your mind go to pot and lose your short-term memory, that's your fault. You roll your car in a DUI and get paralyzed for the rest of your life, that's on you. You sleep around like a bed bug, get HPV, and then can't get pregnant later on with your husband, don't blame God. Sometimes God doesn't have to do anything to get our attention. Sometimes He just stops doing something. Like protecting us when we disobey. Some trials happen because of evil in the world. A week ago yesterday, Irving Park in Chicago, 66-year-old Christoph Marek, who was just evicted from his apartment, broke into his next-door neighbor's apartment and shot and killed four family members who were just sitting down to dinner, even though they had not done anything to him at all. And then he went and killed another woman in the apartment above that one. Talk about evil on steroids. And the condo owner said this, nothing like this ever happens in this neighborhood. But it reminds you that evil things can happen just like that to any one of us. And that life is very short. Talk about a wake-up call. But folks, regardless of what causes the trials and the troubles, God still wants to use them to get our attention. Pop singer Demi Lovato took the route of many other female pop singers who grew up in the church, serving the Lord by singing in the choir, like Miley Cyrus, Selena Gomez, Katy Perry, and then when they get hot enough to turn people's heads, they go the way of the world. Demi Lovato started partying and doing coke and crank till July 24, 2018, when she OD'd, had to have a shot of Narcan to bring her back to life. In and out of rehab, last September, she took a trip to Israel and got baptized in the Jordan River. And why? This is what she said. I almost died from all the drugs, but God used that experience to take away all the things that were keeping me from Him. And it brought me back to Christ and filled that God-sized hole in my heart. Sometimes God does not have your attention. He will take away what does. So we can focus on Him. Everybody goes through trials. And people, do we have any idea what a huge blessing it is to have Jesus when those trials come, no matter how bad the trial may be? This coming November the 7th marks the one-year anniversary of the worst mass shooting in the history of Thousand Oaks, California. November 7th, 2018 was College Country Night at the Borderline Bar and Grill, where over 250 people, mostly local college students, were line dancing. But then about 11:20 p.m., 28-year-old former Marine named Ian David Long showed up with a .45 caliber Glock 21, shot a security guard outside, went inside the bar, shot two more employees, and then started shooting the patrons. And not at random, but military kill shots to the head. And during the attack, he even stopped two different times to post pictures of what he was doing on Facebook. By the time the SWAT team got there, Ian David Long had killed 12 people, including a sheriff's deputy, and wounded over 128 others. And of course, people in the bar were freaking out, trying to hide behind furniture, even throwing bar stools through the glass so they could jump out the window. In Thousand Oaks, California, folks, who voted 2018 the third safest city in the entire United States and the number one best place to live in the entire country. Guess again. Well, coming up on the 1 year anniversary, in spite of all the therapy and the counseling that the survivors went through, the vast majority of them are still freaked out with nightmares and flashbacks, PTSD, depression, you name it. Sarah DeSong, who lost her 22-year-old friend that night, to this day cannot stand to be anywhere in public. Kaylee Rich suffers from survivor guilt today so bad she's suicidal because she cannot forget her friend Telemachus Orphan, who survived the Route 91 shooting in Las Vegas, only to be killed at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. The bar owner, Brian Hines, is still haunted by that attack, believing somehow it's his fault. So to this day, he still never reopened the place. But then there's this guy, 24-year-old Alex Chadoff, who tried to hide people behind the DJ booth and was the last person to jump out the window in that bar after everybody else got out. And even though he went through all the same therapy, all the same counseling as everybody else, this is what he said. It was a terrible thing, and I still do think about it. And it's definitely a part of my history and my past, but it's not a part of my present or my future. Because one bad thing is not going to define me and my life. That comes from Jesus and all the good plans He has for me. By His power, I can put this behind me and move on to better things. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. However long ago, something really bad happened to you too, didn't it? That absolutely tore your world apart and rocked you to the core. Therapists, listen to them. Counseling, do it because it can help you. But more than anything else, you need Jesus Christ to give you the strength to process what happened and put it behind you so you can move on with the plans that God still has for the rest of your life. God has your attention now. Follow His lead. The first thing we need to understand about trials is that God uses them to get our attention. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about trials. Not only God uses trials to get our attention, but also why God uses trials to get our attention. And there's all kinds of reasons. Mostly because God wants a relationship with you. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, all things are created by Jesus Christ for Jesus Christ. You were created to know and serve God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have that. Your life will never be what it could be. Nothing else in this world will ever satisfy you. And you will spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell when you die. And of course, God does not want that to happen to you. But there's people listening to the sermon right now because you never go to church, because you never pray, because you never read the Bible, all of a sudden, there's this lump where there was never a lump before. All of a sudden, there's this tumor that shows up on your MRI. All of a sudden, after years and years of no concerns, there's traces of blood in the stool sample. Your 53-year-old wife is diagnosed with early onset dementia. The doctor tells you he cannot detect your unborn baby's heartbeat. And God says, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And you say, but Kevin, this is my life here. No, it is not your life because your life belongs to God because He's the one who created you, which means God has the right to do absolutely whatever He wants with your life and the lives of all the people that you love. And what does God want to do? God wants to bless you. Beyond anything you could ever imagine. He has the right to do whatever He wants. That's what He should. You cannot kick against the goads. It doesn't do any good. My junior year in high school, us Wetzel Warriors were playing the Paxton Mustangs at their house. They were the number one team in the state at that time. Early fourth quarter, we were up by three, and a Paxton player late hit our running back almost 5 yards out of bounds. And the ref never called it. So I said, ref, you stink. And out came the yellow flag. He called me for unsportsmanlike conduct from the sidelines. Took the ball, marched it back 15 yards, looked at me and said, how do I smell from here? People, you can't change God's mind. He will do with your life, the lives of people you love, whatever He wants. But what He does want is to bless you and do such incredible things with your life. You can't even imagine it. But He cannot do those things and will not do those things until He has your attention. God uses trials in our lives to let us know how much we need it. Sometimes God will put you in a situation you can't control to let you know only He is in control. God uses trials to build up our faith. So that verse 7, that faith will be more valuable than gold refined in the fire. Raw gold is filled with all kinds of impurities and has to be heated up to 1,947 degrees to burn all those impurities away so it can be pure. And how many all realize God will turn up the heat in our lives with trials to burn away all the impurities in us so that our faith will be pure? Psalm 66, verse 10. God refines us like gold, and He does uses trials to do it. You say, but Kevin, there's got to be some other way. There is no other way. Because we don't learn very much when times are good. And sad fact, how many of us honestly, if we never had a problem, would ever cry out to God or pray or turn to Him? Diamonds can't be polished without friction. And how in the world are we ever going to learn to trust God if we never have a problem to trust Him for? God uses trials in our lives to make us more like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, to conform us to the image of Christ. So every single time we die to self, crucify the flesh, swallow our pride, give up our so-called right to be ticked off or to get even with somebody and show forgiveness, we get more and more like Jesus. Last September the 22nd, two teenage guys were screwing around at Hocking Hill State Park in Logan, Ohio, and dropped a 74-pound log off of a 60-foot cliff just to see what would happen when it hit the ground. But they didn't realize 50 feet below them was a 44-year-old Christian woman named Victoria Schaefer who was hiking a trail ahead of her family. That log crushed her skull and killed her on the spot, leaving behind a wife, a husband, and four kids. Two teenagers charged with first-degree manslaughter. You talk about an absolute tragic mess. And yet, this is what Victoria Schaefer's husband said. It hurts so much to lose a beautiful wife and mother, I can't tell you. Victoria was the love of my life, but those boys did not intend to kill her. And even though they will get whatever the court decides, God has given our family this special opportunity to show them the grace and love of Jesus Christ and to share the gospel with them. What a blessing that is, and what a gift that God has given us. The blessing of becoming more and more like Jesus. Sometimes the gifts that God gives us come in boxes that cut our hands open when we open them up. But people, do we have any idea how God can take the trials and troubles and tribulations of our lives and turn them into blessings? Last September the 14th, Miss Laura Snyder's fourth grade class, Bradenton Elementary School, Bradenton, Florida, was favorite college sports team t-shirt day, when all students were supposed to wear the t-shirt of their favorite college sports team. Well, 9-year-old Justin Lance, his favorite college sports team is University of Tennessee Volunteers, who have a very distinct color, orange. But Justin did not have a University of Tennessee Volunteers t-shirt. So Miss Snyder told him just to wear another orange colored shirt that day and it would be okay. September 14th came. Justin was so excited because he wore a dark orange t-shirt to school that day. But to dress it up, he took a piece of paper and wrote UT on it, University of Tennessee, and then pinned that paper to the front of his shirt. And he was so proud of what he had done. But then after lunch, he came back to homeroom crying his eyes out because all the other kids were making fun of him and his homemade t-shirt, because kids can be mean. And because It's not the finest thing you've ever seen in your life. But that kid did the best job he could with the resources that he had. So Miss Snyder told him she was proud of it. And she took his picture in that shirt and posted it on social media. And what do you know? That post went viral all over the world. And even people at the University of Tennessee noticed it. So that very next Thursday, that college sent that kid a huge box filled with Tennessee swag. Footballs, helmets, t-shirts, caps, jackets, hoodies, you name it. And not only that, they also gave the kid a full ride scholarship to the class of 2032, paying for all his tuition and fees starting in 2028 when he graduates from high school. And not only that, University of Tennessee also took Justin Glantz's t-shirt, adopted it as one of their official designs, and started printing out University of Tennessee t-shirts with Justin's logo on it. Sold over 50,000 of them and donated all the money to a charity called Stop the Bullying. And for the rest of the school year, Justin Lance will walk 2 inches off the floor. People, isn't God good? See how God can take all the trials and troubles and tribulations in our lives and turn them into blessings? Because God works all things together for good and does exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we ask or imagine. So the question is, are we going to let trials tear down our faith, or are we going to let trials build up our faith? The second thing that we need to do, we need to understand about trials, is why God wants to use them to get our attention. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about trials. Not only that God wants to use them to get our attention, not only why God wants to use them to get our attention, but third, how we're supposed to respond to those trials so that, verse 7, those trials result in praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Which means trials come into your life, you don't cop an attitude. Actor George Clooney said this, "Back in grade school, I prayed to God for all kinds of things that I wanted, and none of them ever happened. So I decided right then and there, there is no God, and I left Him for good." And sadly enough, how many other people listen to this sermon right now think exactly the same way? You lose your job, your parents get a divorce, your baby dies, you get diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and you quit. You get mad at God. You stop coming to church. You don't believe in organized religion anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And you know what's wrong with that? Your trials are not about you. Your trials are only about Him. Your trials are not about your comfort and your convenience. Our trials are only about God and His glory. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12, that we and absolutely every single thing about us might be for the praise of His glory. We're supposed to use our trials to glorify God. You say, but Kevin, I want to know why that bad thing happened. Then ask. If Jesus on the cross asked why, we can ask why. But if you ask, don't expect you're going to get an answer. Because God is under no obligation whatsoever to explain anything to anybody. Amen. Job asked why, and the only thing that God gave him was a bigger revelation of Himself. And you know why? Because our trials really are only about God and His glory. We want our trials to result in praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. You simply need to trust Him in all things, no matter what. Here sits Al and Jenny Wawack. Several months ago, Al was diagnosed with cancer right out of the blue. But notice, they didn't get mad at God. They didn't take their ball and go home. They didn't stop coming to church. They didn't quit going to Bible study. They're here today, as they always are, singing and praying and praising the Lord. And you know why? Because after I found out he was diagnosed and I called them, you know what Jenny said? "This is not what we wanted, but we know that God has a plan." These people are living, breathing proof that you can trust God. You can still trust God, even when you don't know why. Even when you don't understand, even when you don't know what's going to happen. Because what glorifies God is not us being Houdini and avoiding the trials altogether. What really glorifies God is when you keep trusting Him and stay faithful to Him and stay close to Him all the way through the trial. This glorifies God. So when you're going through that trial, you don't give up what you do know for what you don't know. And here's what you do know and hang on to. There's still a God. He is still in control. He still loves you. God still has a plan for your life. And He is never, ever, ever going to leave you or forsake you. Ever. To turn our trials into praises and honor and glory to God, we need to do what verse 6 says here and have an eternal perspective. These trials only last a little while. Trials are temporary. God is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:17, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory. Last June the 2nd, 17-year-old Paige Winter and her dad Charlie from New Bern, North Carolina, were waist deep in the ocean off Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, when all of a sudden a great white shark came up and chomped onto that girl's left leg, pulled her under the water. Dad Charlie dove under, pulled his daughter up, and up came the shark with her. And Dad beat and beat on that shark to who wouldn't have it until the shark finally let her go. She's airlifted to a hospital in Charlotte, lost her total left leg and two of her fingers. People, can you imagine getting your leg bit off by a shark? And yet this is what that girl said. God has a destiny and a plan for me in this life, and He will fulfill it. And this accident isn't going to change that at all. And I'm going to get a brand new leg and brand new fingers with a brand new body when I get to heaven anyway. Those things are just temporary. But God's will and His ultimate plans for me are eternal. People, that's faith. That is an eternal perspective. That glorifies God. And you know what? So does this. A while back, devil came up to God looking for trouble, and God says, have you noticed my faithful servants, Mark and Jackie Van Joski? The devil says, yeah, they're regular Jay-Z and Beyonce. But you touch that woman's health, and they will cuss you to your face. God says, think so? And now here she is, dealing with cancer. And for some reason, God allowed it to happen. And for some reason, God has not healed her yet. Yet. But it's not because of lack of prayer. Because there's all kinds of people in the world who are praying for her. And it's not because she's being punished for something. Because punished for what? Jackie Van Joski is a Christian. And Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So anything she may have deserved to be punished for, Jesus already bore that for her like He did for all of us when He died on the cross. And don't say that she doesn't have enough faith. And don't say that she's got a root of bitterness. Job's friends were good friends when they shut up and said nothing. Well, Kevin, God hasn't healed her yet. No, but don't tell me that God is not doing incredible things in her life and in the life of her husband. In case anybody doesn't know, God has this thing called a master's program. So all believers can get their advanced degrees and find out just a little bit what it means to share in the sufferings of Christ. And that program involves a lot of blood and a lot of sweat and a lot of tears. And every single one of those lessons is taught by the Master Himself, Jesus Christ, who has 6 PhDs, one for every hour that He suffered on the cross. And Mark and Jackie have learned in that program very valuable lessons. They've learned that she belongs to God more than anybody else because He saw her unformed body even before she was conceived. God personally knit her together in her mother's womb. God knows what is going to happen to her every single day of her life before it even happens. And in that program, they have also learned that God loves her more than anybody else. Even more than all of her family put together combined. Even more than her own husband. She is His. and they are His. And they have made a decision that they are going to trust God in all things, come hell or high water, no matter what. They're going to trust and glorify Him. And I know there's somebody listening to me right now saying, Kevin, I'll glorify God too when He heals her. Then you're missing out on all the incredible things that God has already done in their lives and in their family. Things that you can glorify God for as well. In spite of all the hell that that couple has been through, they've never given up. They never got a divorce. Mark never walked away. They've never cashed in their chips. God gave that couple a beautiful miracle baby girl as a constant reminder to them that with Him all things are possible. They've never been closer to each other than they are right now. They've never been closer to the Lord than they are right now. They've never been more like Jesus than they are right now. Don't tell me that God has not used this trial to do all kinds of great things in their lives. And here they are today in this church praying and singing and praising God. And in case anybody doesn't know, I did not ask Mark Vanjosky to come to this church today and sing and give a testimony. He asked me if he could do that months ago already. So be very careful how you treat them and be very careful what you say to them. Don't try to scare them. Don't try to put any pressure on them. Don't try to force them to say or do or feel anything. Just love them. Because they are doing exactly what they are supposed to do. They are bearing up under this trial and they are trusting and glorifying God. And keep praying for them that God would glorify Himself even more in her body by healing her head to toe. There's not one of us in this room right now that isn't going through some kind of trial in our lives. Finances, job, health, family, you name it, we're dealing with it. And God is saying, may I have your attention, please? May I have your attention? So Christians, we need to wake up, shut up, and wise up. We need to stop asking why, and we need to start asking how. Not, God, why is this bad thing happening to me? But God, how do you want to use this bad thing that is happening to me to mold me and shape me into the person that you want me to be? That's the only question. And here's the only choice. Either that trial is going to draw us away from Jesus, or it's going to draw us closer to Jesus. That trial is either going to make us, or it's going to break us. The question for every single one of us, this preacher included, what's the choice? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for the God that You are. I do thank You, Lord. Every day of our lives was already written in a book before one of them came to be. And Lord, whatever the reason for these trials, we can argue for eternity. Lord, whether they come from the devil, the world, the flesh, fallen world, whether they come by Your hand, arguments and all, regardless, Lord, You're trying to get our attention through these trials. You want to use them to draw us to You, make us better followers of You, so that You would be glorified. And I pray, Lord, that You would just continue that process in us. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We know, Lord, that You are a miracle-working God who can do absolutely anything. Those miracles have not stopped. You can do all things. But, Lord, I pray that the work You're doing in us through these trials, through the worries, through the stresses, would be perfectly accomplished. We would be that gold refined in the fire. Lord, to present that to You the day we stand before You. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.